Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The NFL's job fair concluded on Sunday in Indianapolis. A lot of players got out there in short pants and ran straight ahead for 40 yards, which is something that very few of them will ever do as pros. But it tells us something, I guess. I don't know. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, mock draft maestro, also part of the Pick Six podcast, Super Friends, and of course, with the First Pick podcast he does with Rick Spielman. Did anything change at all in your mind? Did anything alter the mock draft universe in Indianapolis?
Yeah, it wasn't so much the run in a straight line. It was fun to see Xavier Worthy run a 4.21 and break the record. I mean, that's the highest level of excitement you're going to get at a combine. But we did interview a ton of these guys, and you got a chance to see who they were as people at least for a few minutes, and that gave you some insight. And then the stuff that we weren't privy to, but the medicals on some pretty important people like Michael Penix Jr. in terms of what that means for him, in terms of a guy you know very well, Peyton Wilson, in terms of what that means for him. So those are important parts of this thing. Now, you can push back at him and say, yeah, but Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams didn't do any of that stuff. And I would say, yeah, but they're Marvin Harrison Jr. and Caleb Williams. That's what the difference is. And didn't talk to Marvin. He didn't do the media. But we talked to Caleb, and I was surprised at how humble he was and how engaging he was. And those are sort of the insights you can get just from not watching these guys play on Saturday. And that helps. And then you circle back and you talk to people in the league and see what they thought and try to compare notes. And I think that's probably more important than the field day version of events. That's what everyone sees on television.
Did Caleb Williams ever say, I will never play for the Chicago Bears?
Incidentally, he did not say that. And I didn't expect him to.
Right.
But, I think it's his dad isn't helping on some level, but I think at the end of the day, he talked about how competitive he was and how Lincoln Riley had to sit him down and say, listen, you're not going to win every game. You have to learn how to manage that and not get so overwhelmed when things don't go your way after the game. I thought during the games, aside from the first half of Notre Dame where he threw the three interceptions, find me a better quarterback, because I would love to see who that person is coming into this draft.
Yeah, has Rick Spielman, we've used that clip where he says he's the best prospect since Andrew Luck. Has Rick Spielman's opinion of Caleb Williams changed at all?
I think he was impressed with how he came across when we spoke with him. Other than that, on the field, I don't think Rick's going to moonwalk away from what he said back in October in terms of being the best prospect. It's not even – I don't know who would argue with you that Caleb is a better prospect coming out than Patrick was, Patrick Mahomes coming out of Texas Tech. Now, you can argue about the Trevor Lawrence coming out of Clemson, although he didn't have a lights out senior final year at Clemson.
No.
Certainly Andrew Luck coming out of Stanford, that was the one that got most people's attention.
Oh, Andrew Luck was the best. I'm not an expert on this, but Andrew Luck was the most obvious, this guy will be, his baseline was great. Like, the floor for Andrew Luck was great. And then if he was only healthy or treated better by the Indianapolis Colts, then we could have been talking about somebody who was one of the all-timers at his position. And obviously injuries robbed him of a long career. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. Let me just real quick before we get to I want to ask you about Peyton Wilson and maybe a couple of other things from the draft. Or from the combine, what's your take on the way this ended in Denver with Russell Wilson? Adam Gold in studio with my man, Coach Pete DeRuta, Capital Financial Advisory Group. Let's talk about financial termites. I hate termites.
Risk, fees, commissions are all financial termites. If your money can go away without you really realizing what's happened, that's a financial termite. Eating away your money can't happen. We can exterminate those, Adam. We help people identify and exterminate financial termites every single day.
So you would be the financial red ants.
That's right.
That get rid of the termites.
Sure.
People don't know that. Red ants get rid of termites. Text Adam to 600-700 for Coach Pete DeRuta.
Well, given the way that it played out and during the 2023 season, this part doesn't shock me.
No.
Right? And I come back to this. If you can't make it work with Sean Payton, you're going to have a long, hard conversation with how your future's going to work out after this. Because it's not all Russ's fault. And Russ did play better this year than he did under Nathaniel Hackett 2 years ago, which was a complete and utter disaster. And I put a lot of that on Nathaniel Hackett, who went to New York under Aaron Rodgers' advisement, and things didn't work out well either once Aaron got hurt. So I think Nathaniel deserves some of the blame early on, but last year it was Russ and Sean. And the reason Peyton was frustrated because Russ wasn't doing the things that he wanted him to do consistently enough.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was crazy about the, I don't call it entourage, but the way in which Russ comported himself compared just to every other player in the locker room. That's not a bad thing. It's just different because Russ was at a different level when he arrived in Denver, arrived amid much fanfare, and mm-hmm. I'm sure he was allowed to get away with things that other players weren't. And that's not uncommon for franchise quarterbacks, but apparently Sean Payton wasn't on the same page with that. And once things went sideways on the field, it just felt like it was only a matter of time. Now, you're going to eat the money they're having to eat and the draft compensation they had to give up hurts, especially in that division. But I think if you get Kirk Cousins, if that works out, and, you know, hope isn't a plan, as Mike Tyson liked to say back in the day, then Kirk Cousins helps. But they can also draft a quarterback, and they'll probably have to trade up to get one from 12. But they only have to trade up 3 or 4 spots, perhaps, to get the guy they like, and then maybe reset the team in, as I mentioned, an incredibly tough division.
Do you think they like J.J. McCarthy in Denver?
I know Broncos fans like J.J. McCarthy, and we talked to J.J., and good luck finding a more charming, engaging person to talk to. I was really impressed with just speaking with him. And, you know, he wasn't asked to do a lot at Michigan, and that's the talking point. But when he was asked to do some things, he did it at a pretty high level. Yeah. Also, great athlete, huge arm.
Tremendous athlete.
Another thing I would say, Adam, is that Sean Payton doesn't have a track record of rolling with rookie quarterbacks. So that's also, there's going to have to be a bridge quarterback there, I would imagine. I don't think he's going to throw anyone out there. But, our social media team was on site, and they make us old people do the social media games with the kids. So we did one with JJ. And he actually ended up landing in Denver in this little make-believe game. He seemed quite intrigued with that possibility as well. So maybe that's a match made in social media heaven.
Is there a match for Russell Wilson at this point? He's not that old, right? He's just not that old.
35.
Is he really 35?
35. I think he's mid-30s, yeah.
I guess that's old.
He drafted in 2012.
35
is old. Quarterback years, though. But here, let's play a game. Okay, are the Giants better with Daniel Jones or with Russell Wilson?
I mean, they're probably better with Russell Wilson, but they're not dramatically. Look, I think Russell's clearly on the, like, he's in the, like, on the 16th tee of his career.
Yes. I mean, here are the teams that need quarterbacks. We talked about Denver. He's not going there. Minnesota, Vegas, New Orleans. Seattle, maybe, if they're sniffing around. The Steelers have been mentioned as a possible team. And the Falcons, of course. I don't know if he's a substantial upgrade in any of those destinations, and that's sort of the thing, because 2 years ago, he was clearly one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL and was supposed to reset things in Denver. It didn't work out for a number of reasons, but I don't think he resets things at these places either, and that's sort of the problem that he has finding the landing spot.
What is Ryan Wilson from CBS Sports is joining us here on the Adam Gold Show. What are the possibilities of maybe being a bridge quarterback for a team like New England, who is likely going to draft a quarterback first overall? Not first overall, but like in the top three.
Yeah, if he's up for it, I would imagine that would make things a lot easier. Remember, they drafted Mac Jones a few years ago and then signed Cam Newton at the last minute. And then Cam Newton, if I have the chronology right, lost out in the battle to win that job. And, you know, if that's something that Russ is interested in, it probably makes his timeline a little easier in terms of getting the job, I would imagine. And another thing, look, if that's a marriage that works out, the Patriots could also draft Marvin Harrison Jr. if they think that the quarterbacks Right. At least the ones at number three aren't what they're interested in. And then you do have that bridge quarterback, but you're going to have to solve the quarterback situation pretty quickly unless Russ has a resurgence to his career. So certainly that's an option. Washington also needs a quarterback, but I don't think – is he a huge upgrade over Sam Howell? I don't think so, if you're looking for a bridge quarterback, even if you draft one. So it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. You know, we always say about the draft, it only takes one team. It only takes one team to fall in love with Russ and think they can make things work. But I don't think he's going to – it's not going to be a situation where they hand him the keys to the car and say, you know, go drive off and make this thing work. Because I think it's going to be some competition involved.
Yeah, there's also familiarity. Dan Quinn was in Seattle when Russ was in Seattle and there was all that success. But you have to have and even in Seattle when he had all that success, they had a team around him that didn't ask him to do all the heavy lifting, right? And when they did throw it in the Super Bowl and it was picked off, there were a lot of accusations where they wanted to make, or Seattle was trying to make Russ as opposed to Marshawn Lynch, all that drama. Look, it was a great play, I thought, by the Patriots. All right, let me ask Ryan Wilson this question. This goes to Peyton Wilson. No relation to Russ and no relation to Ryan, I don't believe. There's no relation here, right? Russell Wilson, Peyton Wilson, and Ryan Wilson?
We talked to Peyton as well. He's from Hillsborough. I'm from Buies Creek, and we did the lineage real quick. I don't think we're related.
All right. I didn't realize you were from Buies Creek.
Yeah, I just told Victoria that. She didn't know that either. I got to get that more. I got to put that out there so people know. Yeah, I'm originally from Buies Creek, home of the Fighting Camels.
Oh, absolutely. It's we gotta head down and play the golf course. Keith Hills is one of the great tracks ever.
Baby.
Oh my gosh, what a place! what did they say? What was the, you know, the rumblings after 4.43, certainly not worthy of 4.21, but what are the rumblings coming out of the combine about Peyton Wilson?
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Well, people knew what Peyton was all about coming into the combine. The only issues were the age and the injury history, right? And Peyton told us that not being able to play because he was recovering from those injuries made it even more appreciate more the fact that he got an opportunity to play. And he doesn't take it lightly, and he's soft spoken, but he carries a big stick. It's the sense you get when you talk to him. And you know, he grew up on a farm, and he said, you know, I it was pretty tough. All the things I had to do out there and playing football is an honor, and I take it very seriously. And then he put up the athletic numbers that he put up, and he's a leader. He's all over the field. He can play safety if you want to play safety. He can rush off the edge. He's most comfortable playing off-ball linebacker. And I think those numbers just solidified what we saw on tape and what you saw at the Senior Bowl. And I think he's a second-round pick all day long. The only issue is longevity. So
right.
You can draft someone who's a little older and has an injury history. Is he going to get past that first contract? Those are the conversations the teams are going to have. But if you love the player and you think that he's going to be able to avoid the major injuries, he's one of the best off-ball linebackers in this class. I think it's probably between him and the Texas A&M kid, who has a chance to go late first, most likely early second. And after that, it's going to be a free-for-all in terms of these off-ball linebackers. There's no Roquan Smith in this class, for example. But I think Peyton Wilson certainly did a lot to help himself with his combine performance. And I think he interviewed pretty well, too.
I'm curious as to why teams care about the second contract, since they're probably going to not. Like, there aren't as many second contracts getting offered to anybody in the NFL. If you're a second-round pick, the first contract is 4 years. After 4 years, especially if you're a linebacker, you're probably done anyway, no matter what your age is or your injury history. They're probably going to recycle you for somebody else, unless you're headed to the Hall of Fame.
No, that's a question I asked Spielman last week at the Combine. And he said, well, you want to make sure if someone has an injury history that they can get to the second contract. You don't want to be a year and a half into his rookie deal and then you're looking for a replacement. And right, because I had the same question, because typically, unless you're the quarterback or even wide receivers, you'll let walk because there's so many wide receivers now coming out. Quarterbacks and offensive linemen, maybe even edge rushers, everyone else is on their own. But you want to make it those 4 years and be relatively healthy and contribute in that way. The other thing is, if you're a good person, you have your things inside the community and you know the system, that's also a reason to bring you back. But again, if you're talking top 1, 2, 3 money at that position, it's always problematic, right?
Yeah. All right, let me ask you one more question before we let Ryan Wilson go. And this is something that has been floated out about Brian Burns, who has not yet been franchise tagged by Carolina. I assume that will happen today. They're not talking about or no longer having discussions right now about a contract extension for him. Would you take 2 seconds from Washington for Brian Burns? Is that a good return for Brian Burns?
Not when you compare to who was at the Rams that wanted to give up.
Well, yes. I actually think Scott Fitterer should be fired again for not taking that deal.
Scott, good news, we're going to hire you. Bad news, we're going to immediately fire you again for that trade you didn't take. And who knows if it was his final call, but let's be honest. Here's the thing. I would seriously consider it because you didn't do the deal at the time, what we just talked about, but you don't have a first-round pick. You have pick number 33, and you have 3 second-round picks. You can never have enough day one and day two picks if you're the Carolina Panthers. Now, you're going to have to find an edge rusher because you just got rid of your dude, so you have to sort that out. So I would seriously consider it, but I would imagine that there should be some first-round interest out there somewhere. But, again, this team has so many needs. I don't know if it just might make more sense keeping Brian Burns if he wants to be there because he's a special player.
Yeah.
There's a lot to sort through in Carolina and not very much draft capital in which to make that happen, at least over the next few months.
Ryan Wilson, at Ryan Wilson CBS on Twitter. My man, I appreciate your time. Get back here and visit fam, and then we'll head down to Keith Hills.
Deal. Thank you, Adam.
All right, man. Ryan Wilson. I didn't realize he was crib. That's
awesome.
Yeah, we were
talking about because I'm a North Carolina native, and so he said he's from here, and that's where we went down the rabbit hole.
You're from Greensboro, that area, right?
Yeah, just north of Greensboro. Yep. Small town that no one's probably heard of.
I am also from north of Greensboro.
Yeah, way north. A few states north.
Yeah, several, yeah. You know, 400 miles or whatever. Right. No, it's 400, yeah, about 400 miles north. Of Greensboro.
Yeah.
Calling all North Carolina sports fans. Soon enough, DraftKings Sportsbook will be live in your state. Starting March 11th, you'll be able to bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home with DraftKings. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code 999 to get up to $300 in bonus bets when you place a $5 bet once mobile sports betting goes live. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, coming soon to North Carolina on March 11th with code 999. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 877-185-543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only, new customers only, subject to regulatory licensing requirements. Maximum $300 in bonus bets not available for use until March 11th, 2024. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC.